Welcome to the Hellbound podcast with myself, Alex Blackburn, joined at the hip, the ball and chain, my beautiful wife, Vicky Aurora. We're doing a, as the submissions process for the Hellbound Festival, or the Hellbound Horror Festival, is coming to a close this Saturday, the 1st of October, I hope it's this Saturday, we are covering something pretty gruesome in a special mini-series of episodes starting today, starting with this very episode. And Vic,
gone dark.
What are we going to be talking about for the next few episodes?
Well, to give it its official title, it's Dahmer, Monster, the Jeffrey Dahmer story.
And that's a new Netflix...
10-part series.
10 parts, is it? Okay, so we'll cover a few episodes per episode, a few episodes of that show per episode of this, because it's not something you want to binge because it's so dark. Isn't that right?
It is really dark. It's not a light subject matter by any means, but it's also very emotive when you're watching it. It's quite slow, but it really gets you gripped by the darkness.
So, what do you love about Jeffrey Dahmer, Vic?
Oh, Alex, I don't really love him, to be honest. I used to work in forensics, so I've got a bit of a history with crime and...
punishment.
The darker side of the human nature. The first ever serial killer that I was interested in and that I read about.
Yeah. Serial killer?
You want me to start again?
No, we're not starting that again. I'm keeping that in.
Was Dennis Nielsen. Do you know who Dennis Nielsen is?
No. Isn't he a British serial killer?
He was, yeah. So he's actually very, very similar to Jeffrey Dahmer, but he was arrested, I think, I want to say 80... Let me have a look. 1983. He was in court in London, and he was a mass murderer and killer of victims who were lured to his home. And they were generally young men or men.
Right. Okay.
Very similar, which was quite disturbing when you're reading about it when you're like about 15.
And that was that the main reason you wanted to watch Dahmer, or?
Well, I'm really interested in crime and especially serial killers. One of the reasons I kind of wanted to watch it because I don't really know enough about him. I know a little bit. I didn't know how many victims he had, but I did know about like some of them, including the young boy. Should we go into it? Are we talking about each episode as we go?
We'd both heard about this crazy serial killer. I think I actually heard about it when I was 9 or 10, I think, when he was caught, which is extremely disturbing because when you're a 9-year-old, you shouldn't be hearing about someone that's put a head in the fridge. Now, that's not a spoiler, and we're going to talk about the show quite openly, or the first two episodes in this episode of the about Dahmer, because it's historical and everything's already there. People have already made documentaries. You should know as much as you need to know about Dahmer right now. Or if you're...
Well, you want to know, like, it's a very specific subject matter that not everyone can kind of handle. It is really disturbing, let's not forget. The truth, more often than not, is more disturbing than fiction. That's why I think I like it. The human psyche is mental.
Yeah, that's the thing I got from the first two episodes, is I knew about the kind of rough numbers of people he'd killed and what he was doing, and in terms of the cannibalism or the, like, you know, Quentin in Jaws, just boiling the or burning the flesh away and just keeping the bones, like the shark teeth in Jaws. I knew about all of that, but what I didn't know about was the original kind of his early childhood and what he was doing and taxidermy and his kind of upbringing with his parents and what kind of impact that has on someone.
Yeah, you know, I think after the first and second episode, I think that'll go into it a bit more. The first episode starts actually at the end, so when he gets arrested. I'm not going to do the whole spoiler alert thing because the whole program that we're doing is a bloody spoiler.
We'll have a general conversation about the first two episodes. Yeah, and that's the best way to approach it.
The first episode the pace was so different.
Yeah, it was really quite...
It was really tense.
Yeah, it's probably the tensest I've been or we've been watching anything.
Yeah, and I'm feeling it now just talking about it.
I think the key thing to remember is when you're watching this, you're so tense because it's mainly because, oh my God, this is real. This happened to people. You know, horror films or horror things we cover on the in the festival or on this podcast, you've got light at the end of the tunnel. People went through this. People got, you know, murdered, and the worst kind of things happened to these people. And that's why it's so tense, because, you know, it's so visceral, so real.
Yeah, I think also one of the reasons that it's really tense is because how long it takes. You're in the moment. So however long that experience was for that final saved victim to a certain degree, you felt like you were going along with it at the pace and time that it was actually being experienced, because the silence, there's a lot of silence in it.
Yeah, there's a lot of
it, silent activity.
Exactly. It's not like quick editing, there's nothing flashy. It's when you give those moments real breathing room, it adds to the tension, the silence, the lack of music, the lack of any sound. It's I think it's really a brilliant achievement in television, really.
It is. It reminds me a lot of The Joker to some degree. You're getting a snapshot of someone's mental state.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, The Joker's a great example of that, yeah.
Real darkness.
So did you know about this in the first episode? We open on this grotty, disgusting... He's in the middle of what he does. Audible, that's the first thing you hear, is he's using a carving knife you use on a turkey on someone or something. You don't, this is the beauty of the show, like Jaws, you hardly see the shark, is you don't see the close-ups of a drill going in or someone being cut up. It's there, it's suggested, and that's what the best achievement is, tonally, is the visceral nature of it.
It is. And I think also you don't know where in the story you've picked up from when you first start. Where are we? Are we at the beginning? Are we at the middle? Are we at the end? Like, you just don't know. And yes, I have the timeline in my mind already. I'm privy to that because of what I've studied or what I've looked at. I didn't know where I was. It felt really real. Only as the episode evolves, you realise, oh God, I'm towards the end here. And then my mind was like, I know about this victim. I wonder when they're going to show that kind of thing, which actually happened in episode 2.
So you are more versed in Dharma history, Dharma law than I am. So did you know about how the police got him and how the first victim or the only person that really escaped? Did you know about that before?
He wasn't the first person that escaped. That 14-year-old was the one that escaped. And then he got caught. He basically got the police.
Well, no, he didn't get... He didn't escape.
He did.
No, he didn't escape because he was on the doorstep. He didn't escape.
I think he... Okay, in actuality, I think he might have got a little bit further. Oh, okay. But the police basically handed him back.
Yeah. Well, he...
It makes me really upset.
The first person in the first episode, the guy picks up the bar, is the first one that truly got away from him.
Well, he played a game. He played along with him.
Oh, my God.
He insinuated that he was going to give him what he wanted.
Yeah.
Some, don't forget, a lot of serial killers do get to the point where they have certain mishaps. They stumble a little bit because they get a bit cocky. They get too confident in what they're doing. They get brash. Potentially the human nature in them actually wants to get caught and stop it. A lot of people recognize to a certain degree what they're doing and don't really want to do it and can't control themselves.
Yeah. I don't think he was quite that though, was he?
How do we know?
I think, well, that's it, isn't it? We'll never know.
Well, we might do, because he talked.
He did talk, and he was quite open with the police in the first episode. And
like Dennis Nielsen. Their similarities are incredible.
But yeah, that...
Loner.
That's what was... I didn't know that he just like came out. Some want to be caught. A lot of these serial killers, the calculated ones, want to be caught, or they put clues out there for the police. But he was just, I think, in many ways, just didn't care.
He didn't care.
Like, you know, the whole thing with the air vents in the flat, in his apartment. He didn't really care what the sound or anything. He wasn't thinking that widely. As at least in the show, he's not kind of that calculated.
Well, he was caught in 91. It was a very different time back then. I think he started potentially in the 70s. You know, he was... I don't know, he was a white man, protected a little bit, maybe. That's the kind of gist that we got from the...
Yeah, from the opening,
neighbor,
yeah.
And, you know, the neighbor who was a black woman that had called the police a number of times and was ignored. What the police were saying about, you know, why are you living here? That kind of insinuation throughout the whole thing. You've got race issues, you've got gender, you've got sexuality. Like, there's so many different layers to it.
Absolutely, yeah.
He was hiding in plain sight.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's the scariest thing, that I can't imagine, in a really superficial way, let's pick a character. I'm not sure what his neighbour's called. A character, but I'll say character in terms of the show. There is a real person that, you know, lived next door to him in those flats. What I'd love to know what the psychological impact, I'll probably look if there's any kind of interviews after, the impact knowing what he did next door had on her. That's what I'm really fascinated now, I think, after the end of the show.
Well, if you take in episode 2, they played back her call to the police.
Yeah.
Where she just kept going on and on about, well, he's a child, he's a child. No,
oh, they didn't care, did they?
Leave it alone sort of thing. We've dealt with it. She said it numerous times. The fact that she was told to vacate the building. Where is she supposed to be going?
Well, to be honest, that makes a lot of sense in terms of that very small moment where the police officer comes to a door and you can see that everyone in the building, the apartment block is being told to leave by the police. It makes sense because there's going to be the chemicals from the containers.
Where is she supposed to go?
I don't know, but it's extremely difficult. But if you're sharing an air vent with Jeffrey Dahmer, you should know you need to leave the building because of what's been going on next door.
But people's circumstances don't allow for that.
Yeah. Oh, I know. I understand that. Oh, we don't know whether she had family or not. So that could have been...
Well, going back to Dennis Nielsen, he was living in a top floor room of like a shared house sort of thing. So,
well, that's the thing. We've got to separate the fiction from the reality as well, because that could have been creative license where she did have a place to go, and that scene itself to add more drama. Well, we don't know. We honestly don't know, and that's what's going to be fascinating. Looking into the truth of this.
It's interesting what the creator is,
Ryan Murphy.
Yeah, so he did Glee?
No, it's the other writer that did Glee. The other creator of the show did Glee. Oh. Maybe Ryan Murphy did as well, but it was definitely the other writer.
Okay.
Do you want to check?
I will, yeah. But it was just... It was tense. Very, very tense.
It's the most...
It was difficult to watch a second episode, wasn't it?
It's the most uncomfortable I've ever been watching something on TV or at home.
And I've seen some stuff.
I bet you are, baby. It's my naked body.
Oh, I know, that's funny.
And then I'm dancing like Buffalo Bill.
Oh, don't, Alice.
Beep, 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 wild horses. Put the lotion in the basket. But yeah, I think it's a brilliant show. Shot beautifully in anamorphic, I think. Or at least cropped that way. And when you shoot something so wide in such a small space like his apartment, it leaves your imagination to run wild, like door openings and the fridge. What else is in the fridge? That's what I loved about it, is the way this show is shot allows your mind to drift even further. So it's not just Dahmer on the screen or a victim. What's going on? It's like, what else is going on in that space?
Mm. Are you happy for me to pick up what Ryan Murphy did?
Yeah, go ahead.
So he's best known for creating and producing a number of television series, including Popular, Nip Tuck, Glee, American Horror Story, Scream Queens, American Crime Story, Pose, 911.
Love Pose, yeah.
The Politician, 911 Lone Star, Ratchet.
Oh, the Nurse Ratchet story, yeah.
Yeah, so an American Horror Story continues, doesn't it?
That's right, yeah.
So he's got quite
Ryan Murphy's got amazing kind of back catalogue or discography for those music listeners out there. But yeah, Ryan Murphy's super talented. There is another writer, so it's not just Ryan Murphy.
Yeah, must be. Or a creator, I'm not quite sure. Do you know how many victims he has?
I don't think we should say, actually, because okay. If people are following along with the show, we'll find out watching Dharma, because there's going to be a lot of people that have Netflix younger than us that are watching for the first time that have no clue who he is, and this is the first kind of idea of who Jeffrey Dahmer is, and
people in this country don't know who he is.
Yeah, well, I don't know about that. I think a lot of people do. A lot of younger people worldwide won't know who he is or who he was. But yeah, this show will probably highlight quite a few things about him, because it's a real tough watch, and I understand why people are finding it very difficult to finish the show. We're 2 and a bit episodes in, or we just finished the second episode. The second episode is equally as difficult to watch because of what's going on with that young teenager that he murders. And, there's no spoiler alert again. I'm going to say that because this is a historical series of murders in between the early 70s to the 90s, really.
When it came to that second episode and that young boy, reading it, when I read it before,
yeah,
it was more disturbing.
Was it quite accurate with how he picked him up and was going to the liquor store?
Yeah, he did a lot of that, like offering people to come back, I've got alcohol, come over, that kind of thing, picking people up.
Yeah.
They were generally black men, I think.
Okay.
Or vulnerable people, he would, lure people.
Yeah, people of kind of low income, low means kind of thing.
Well, he was 14, and also his older brother was picked up by him but survived, I believe.
And that's why he was on a sex offenders register or something. They make a highlight. I didn't know about that.
It's quite subtle, isn't it?
Yeah, very subtle. Yeah, the information.
Information dripping through is very subtle. You really got to pay attention. Yeah. We've got a thing in our household where, Alex really hates it if I'm like on my phone or something for my work or whatever it is. And I get it, and I'd rather not be, but we are consciously making an effort to put our phones down, and we were both gripped.
Oh, I've never been so focused on something because I felt as though I needed to survive it. I know it sounds really pathetic just watching TV and on a true crime story, but I felt as though I needed to survive. I get that through a lot of horror movies, but this show was... This is completely different.
Well, it's very gruesome, isn't it? Like, you can feel... You're not a big fan of... What is it? Body horror?
Murder porn or gore porn or...
Where, like the kind of like things. The Saw movies. Yeah, you don't like that very much, do you?
No, but...
He was drilling into people's heads.
This is the way this show is executed. That's not a pun. The way this show... Gotta have some levity. The way this show is shot, it doesn't show the brutal things like Saw Wood, where it's like, yeah, driller killer. This is, you have a very clear idea how he kills people, how he lures people, and who he is, but you don't see it, and that's the beauty of this show. And I know that sounds quite dark, but it's just so well made.
It's just really sad that loneliness and despair can take you to that part of your own brain.
Yeah. No, I agree with
that. A human mind is such a delicate thing.
Yeah. I feel very sorry for him in the early part of this, and it's so, like his...
But is it right? People will argue that. Is it right to feel sorry for him?
I feel
he was a monster.
I feel sorry for the child part of him. To a certain point, when he kills his first, I guess to a point where he kills his first animal. You know, I don't disagree with what you can have sexual urges about almost anything, but when you're seeing that he's squeezing guts and is that the third episode? All right. Well, I'm gonna keep that in. I'm gonna keep that in for a little people who want to watch the third episode. But yeah, it's we'll delve into episode 3 and 4 on our next episode. But
can I ask, did you enjoy it?
Did I enjoy it? Yeah, because it's so different, radically different to anything else. Like, This is the show I'll never binge. I'll probably never watch it again, because just because it's so heavy going, you don't need that.
I've watched a lot and read a lot about serial killers, murderers. It is hard to, for some people to separate themselves from it and not constantly think about it.
Yeah.
It's really difficult.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's brilliant. I'm glued to it. I can't wait to watch more tonight. We're going to watch episode 3 and 4 tonight, everyone. And then tomorrow we're going to go and watch Avatar for a bit of lightness.
Oh, we know.
Yeah, Avatar re-release.
Not in IMAX.
We're going to watch it IMAX 3D, baby.
No, thank
yes, we are.
You. Because you, why don't you call Will?
Do you know why? Because it's got scenes from the new movie.
Oh, thanks. That's why. Enjoy. Okay.
I'll watch on my own. Yes.
What snacks are you taking?
I don't know. Yeah, I'm excited about going on my own now. if anyone wants to fancy watching Avatar, they won't hear this. Anyway, but yeah, back to the Dharma show on Netflix. I'm looking forward to the next episode in a really messed up way. It's extremely difficult to kind of process the information because I was kind of shut down after the first one because it's so tense. If you want to see... The thing is, though, this can't be recreated in fiction. The tension can be, you know... I'll just go through that now. The tension can't be recreated in a work of fiction in a book or a film. Because this is real, that's why it won't be as tense in fiction, because it's real. The whole thing's real. That's why it's so tense watching it.
That's why you find it.
Because
so tense.
When I watch it and I didn't know who this guy that actually escaped at the start of the show is, you think he's just gonna get murdered in some really horrific way. And it's just the fact he has to come back to the apartment with the police, that's grim.
King.
For the key. And like, why wouldn't the police have a key for the
police are dicks. Why would you take a victim back to the perpetrator?
You were saying about the...
Why would you take the victim back to the perpetrator? That is just insane. The police failed on so many counts.
Yeah.
So many.
Do you know
why I reckon I like... analyzing all this so much. It's the armchair psychiatrist in me. That's why I like Big Brother and things like that. I love analyzing people, analyzing the root cause of why people do what they do.
Yeah.
Isn't it incredible?
It is. It's extremely fascinating. And
like, why do you do certain things? Yeah. What is it about you that makes you leave your clothes on the floor like that?
Right, enough of that. Enough of our real life horror in our house. I'm not going to bring up things I know about you, baby. that's for a different time, people. When Vicky's not here, it's just you and me.
And me and Michael.
So I think we'll leave it there. I think this is a great start to the Dharma Monster, the Jeffrey Dharma story.
Let's
is that right?
Call it Dharma Part One.
Dharma Part One. And yeah, we'll lean into this again next week, everyone. Is there anything else you'd like to say, Vic?
Delve into Dharma. Anything else I'd like to say? Take care of each other. Be nice to each other.
Yeah.
Talk about your feelings.
Stay clear of the moors.
Stay clear of the moors. But also, don't go to alcohol to drown your sorrows into stuff. That doesn't help for loneliness issues. It's you end up down a spiral. It's not fun. There's places out there. Go and seek it out.
And watch out for anyone in a nightclub that wants to take you back to their apartment and take photographs of you. Watch out for that.
I wish you told me that before.
Bye bye, everybody. Bye bye.